want to be an emperor. That's not my business. In this world there's room for everyone, and the good earth is rich and can provide for everyone. The way of life can be free and beautiful, but we have lost the way. Greed has poisoned men's souls, has barricaded the world with hate. We think too much and feel too little. We need humanity. More than cleverness, we need kindness. Without these qualities, life will be violent. All will be lost. Do not despair. The hate of men will pass, and dictators die. Dictators die. And the power they took from the people will return to the people. Will return to the people. Let us all unite. Let us fight for a new world. To do away with greed.
It is Wednesday, June 3rd, 2015. This is Deanna Spingola, and I am subbing for Clint Richardson on The Corporation Nation. His websites are realityblogger.wordpress.com and thecorporationnation.com. And we do have two chat rooms open tonight, CorporationNation.chatango.com and Spingola.chatango.com, and we do invite you to participate in the chat there. You may also, well, we're hoping that you will call into the program tonight at 800-313-9443. I've changed the format just a little bit. I was going to continue talking about the corporation, that particularly the ones associated with the medical association, and doctors and pharmaceutical drugs and the FDA and the CDC. But on last night's program, during the last break, someone in the chat room mentioned that somebody had died, and I asked who. Quite a shock. Someone responded, Mike Piper. Mark Glenn had sent an email announcement at 5:26 p.m., but I missed it because I was preparing for the program and had already switched over to my other email address, comment@spingola.com, so I missed Mark's announcement. And so tonight, instead of continuing from last night, as I had previously planned, I would like to dedicate tonight's program to Michael Collins Piper and invite those who cared about Mike, or those who didn't, to call in to the program. I'm going to just give a little spiel about him that should be up on the RBN website. And it is with great sadness that we announce the untimely death of Michael Collins Piper, a former popular RBN radio host. This is going to be hard for me. Mike was a dear friend. Despite serious health issues, a recent stress-filled relocation away from his long-term home in Washington, D.C., an unwarranted criticism by people who disagree with some of his perceptions, he has continued to be the stalwart standard of journalistic truth. Mike's books consisted of in-depth research that others, evidently lacking Mike's unwavering courage, would never consider writing about. He altruistically dedicated the greater part of his life, if not all of it, to sharing his observations and research. He had many fans, not just in the United States, but also in other countries. He also had his share of detractors, people who would prefer to conceal rather than reveal accurate history and contemporary events. Mike, we appreciate and applaud you for your perseverance, your courage, and the standard of truth that you established, both in your books and on your radio programs. Farewell, our dear friend and fellow truth seeker and teller. You will be greatly missed. Okay. You may call into the program at 800-313-9443. I also invite you to visit the website theuglytruth.wordpress.com, and there's a page especially dedicated to Mike. Mike was born in 1960, and he died over the weekend. And there's a wonderful picture of him. Looks like he's enjoying a wonderful meal. Italian, I think, from what I see on the table. And there's several comments, 76 comments. And here's what Mark had to say. Our dearest friend Mike passed away this past weekend, apparently resulting from his heart condition, made worse by the stress he endured, first in losing his job, being forced to relocate out here to Idaho, and then the house fire that took place 3 weeks ago, forcing him to relocate again. Details are sketchy at this point, as I am waiting to meet with the police officials handling his case. Details will be made public once they are available. And then he gives an update. Just spoke with the police detective handling the case, and the coroner has ruled it natural causes. A small story appeared in the Coeur d'Alene press discussing it here. And I note that Michael Hoffman remarked in an email that he sent out today about seeing Mike in a cafe within the last 3 weeks. He gave the date. It was May 25th or May 26th. But seeing him in a cafe in Coeur d'Alene, and he was writing very intensely in a notebook. So Mike was active and actively engaged in doing what he had been doing all of his life. Mike was always had his nose in a book, was a great reader. He was very astute as a child. He was even at the age of 3, he was understanding the things that were around him. He was very observant. He was a unique, wonderful child, and always asked questions. Was probably one of those kinds of kids that, although I'm sure he had lots of friends at school, he probably was the kind that was the nerdy kid that people looked up to and respected, but that is how he grew up. He had a family who obviously loved him dearly, and of course Mark's family loved him dearly also. Mike took the road less traveled, which meant that some people loved him while others disliked or disagreed with him. Let's make tonight's program a celebration of his life instead of a time for tears and sadness, although that is what we currently feel. Let's honor his memory by being the kind of positive people that he appreciated. He always made people feel that they were special when talking with them. If he was talking to you or about you, he was a builder. He was not a destroyer. He built people up. Now, that does not mean that he did not call things as he saw them. He was diplomatic to a point, but he was very honest. And if he felt something, well, then he would say it. And I know that in the last year and a half, from about January of 2014 on, even December of 2013, he was really feeling much worse than he had previously. He was diabetic, he had neuropathy, I fear that he was actually a victim of the allopathic health system that a lot of us talk a lot about. And he did have diabetes, and I think probably that the diabetes, the treatment for diabetes probably led to his heart condition. But despite the fact that his heart was ill, that he did suffer a heart attack, he had a big heart when it came to the people in his life. Our condolences go out to his brother and other family members, and especially to Mark Glenn and his family, who have sustained and supported Mike for several months before his passing. He lived in a cabin that Mark and his family had built right next to their home. And tragically, there was a fire caused by probably the shifting, sometimes homes shift, and something that had to do with the fireplace. Anyway, that occurred 3 weeks ago, as Mark mentioned on his website. Mark's children loved Mike. He was their godfather. And in the last 2 years, Mike was in horrific pain, which was such a physical burden to him. He no longer has to suffer that pain, and for that, we can be grateful. We can miss him. We certainly can express our thoughts about him. And I hope that you will call into the program and make a comment or two, because that's what I want to base this entire program on, is let's make this a call-in program. Let's be able to have a gathering here, a gathering of minds, a gathering of hearts, where we can say what is on our minds about Mike, and more especially, what is in our hearts. Now, I have a pile of his books next to me. I have most of his books, and the ones that are most dear to me, of course, are the ones that he signed. And I will share those with you. Now, if you would like to, I'm going to put into the chat room. We have two of them open. CorporationNation.chatango.com and Spingola.chatango.com, and I'm going to put the URL into the chat rooms of where you can go to write something about Mike. But I would really love it if you would call in so that we can chat and just share remembrances. If you listen to his program, if you read his books, then let's talk about Mike. And I will share some with you from the website, from theuglytruth.wordpress.com, theuglytruth.wordpress.com. Things are still up in the air. Funeral arrangements have not been made yet. Mark is just trying to get himself together, and there's a lot of things on his plate right now. So in addition to keeping Mike in your thoughts, Please also remember Mark and his family. This is a great loss for them. The more effort you put towards an individual and into helping an individual, it's like a mother who has a child, and the child is so dependent upon the mother for everything. And the more that somebody invests in another person, the more they care about that person. And Mark and his family invested a lot of effort in Mike. They brought him clear across the country and made him a part of their family and took him in. Mark took him in as a brother, family member, friend. So they made a big emotional investment in Mike. And so they're suffering. So please keep them in your prayers. And let me share a couple of things from the website. And this is from H. Price, who I believe lives in another country, in New Zealand. And I was talking to a friend in a Scandinavian country just prior to the program. I didn't know whether he was aware that Mike had passed away, so I wanted to be sure and tell him. But anyway, let me share with you what Mr. Price said. I am stunned. I just don't really know what to say. First of all, I want to wish all his family and your family, Mark, and everyone around him, my sympathies. He was a truly great man and will be missed by those of us who know the truth about things. I've been following Mike, since he started on RBN all those years ago. And as my interest in the truth movement and 9/11 started, he was a truly exceptional mind and individual. He has totally influenced me in the way I see the world and how I express the truth to others. I even have tried to make people see the truth by only telling the truth, no matter how bad that was. He was always consistent with what he said, and although I probably did disagree slightly from how he saw things from time to time, he was always consistent. I think that is extremely important with how one tells the truth about things. If you are not consistent, then they, the enemy, can hit you with that, and as they will try to hit you with anything to take you down, it is very important to be consistent and never waver from what you have said in the past. I actually don't really know what to say, other than the truth movement has lost one of its most important, if not the most important standard bearer. I'm so sorry also for what you and Mike have been through. Life can be hell, but, and it can really be rough on the good guys. And damn it, we've just lost one of the great guys. I shall always cherish my autographed copy of the New Babylon forever, and I would have loved to have met him at some point. I always thought he would always be around, really. And there are very, very few people like that for me nowadays. But now it is not to be. I truly hope that his work will eventually lead to the downfall of those in the U.S., Israel, UK, and other countries who are trying to turn the world into the hellish place that the New Babylon talks about. And then he finishes up. Damn, I really don't know what to say. Anyhow, I hope all is well with you and your family, Mark, and Mike's family. As I said, today is a very sad day indeed. Best wishes and my greatest sympathies. And this is from Harvey Price in New Zealand. Okay, I see we have a phone call. Let's take Robert in Missouri. Robert, welcome to the program.
Hey, Deanna. I know you're shook up. Tex Mars is the one that got me into Mike Piper stuff. And, Tex Mars is my Christian Zionist deprogrammer. I do the show on Sunday nights at 10. The dude was priceless, man. His JFK Final Judgment work, man, it's really the epic work on the JFK hit, and so many people hated his work because it pointed to the usual suspects, the Jewish mafia that runs this planet, and they hated this dude for it. But it seems so fascinating that during this time that we're witnessing unfold in front of our faces, the weird stuff going on in the country, and then Mike Piper passes right now when the weirdness is cranking up. But I'll tell you what, the work he did, you can't discount it. It was so many books, and the guy was straightforward. I used to listen to him on this network, and it's a big deal, and he was a giant. And that's what I wanted to throw out there. It's just like, he had the cojones to stand in the face of this this juggernaut that we're living under. And I just happened to be off work early today. I was working the wrong shift, and I heard John's program, and I didn't even hear about it. I usually keep up on Mark's Ugly Truth website, but I haven't been there for a minute, and I missed it. So it's a big deal.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. And as you say, the Final Judgment is a wonderful, wonderful book. It's almost 700 pages. And the thing about it, okay, Mike is gone, but his work will stand as a testament of his courage and his ability to see through things that other people fail to see. And I do believe that his book, The Final Judgment, which was translated in several different languages, it is the best book on the JFK assassination. Nobody has even touched it in the way that Mike Piper did. He brought all the pieces together, and his work will stand as it should. So thank you so much, Robert.
All right, see ya.
Okay, bye-bye. All righty. If you would like to call into the program and tell us your thoughts about Mike, and I know that he had a lot of people who loved him, and of course there were people who didn't. And I think that when you're over the, as they say, when you're over the target is when you're going to be shot at the most. And so he has taken his share of shots. And it's very interesting. When I would listen to Mike, and I listened to all of his programs, and when I would listen to Mike, although he was for the most part talking to what we consider the choir, Mike, in his humility, and maybe he was so used to having to defend what he was saying, even though he was talking to the choir, he would often say, now I know there's some people out there who just are not going to like what I'm going to tell them. And I would always say, no, Mike, no, we're going to love what you're going to tell us. We love you, Mike. Tell us what you want to tell us. But it was just, I think, his humility or his acknowledgement that people were out there who really didn't want to hear what he had to say. But he said it anyway. He said it. He wasn't out to be popular. This was not a man who was looking to win any popularity contest. He was looking to tell the truth. And that's what he did. Even if it was unpopular. And some of the topics that he talked about most recently, they weren't so popular. But in one of his last books, in fact, it's his latest book, False Flags, Template for Terror. And the full name is False Flags, Template for Terror, an analytical critique of the covert model utilized by Israel's Mossad in orchestrating 9/11, the Oklahoma City bombing, and the assassination of John F. Kennedy, and the later manipulation of public opinion in the crises at Sandy Hook and Boston. And at the beginning of the book, on the very first page, he said, "The Russians have a phrase," and then he quoted, "the scream of the woodcock," unquote. The phrase is derisory because the woodcock is nature's ventriloquist. And if you fire your shotgun at the place where the sound comes from, you'll go hungry. Shoot at the woodcock, not the scream, the Russians say. So let's see if we can't find a woodcock. Just one in all these screaming thickets. And he took this from Stephen King's Dance Macabre. And underneath this, he penned a little a note to me. And so this latest book he dedicated to Hugo Chavez, who died March 5th, 2013. And he starts out in the dedication. He says, "Although the controlled media painted the Latin American strongman as anti-American, the truth is that Hugo Chavez was actually a forthright nationalist critic of the internationalist and imperialistic forces of the New World Order. From the time Chavez was elected president of Venezuela, the interlocking network of Rothschild dynasty-linked plutocratic families who dominate the Federal Reserve System and the American American military industrial media complex, some call it the Caiaphas complex, began conspiring against him." Okay, we'll be back in 3 minutes. Please feel free to call in. Be right back. They'll lay you down low and easy, and they'll love that you kill us for sake. Alrighty, welcome back. That is not Clint's bumper music. That is the bumper music from the RBN program that Michael Collins Piper had. And I just wanted to listen to it just for a little while, longer than I usually listen to bumper music. Feel free to call in at 800-313-9443. Now, Mike had a variety of friends, and if you listen to him, you'll recognize this, that he had a great variety of friends. He knew some of the most influential people in Washington, and I would venture to say that he also knew some of the people, the less fortunate people. He did not own a car. He walked. And so I think that when you are walking rather than driving in a car, that you see more of the surroundings around you. You're more apt to say hi or speak to somebody on the street. He had lunch and breakfast and dinner with some of the most interesting people. Mike had a cat that he called the Baskerville Hound, but he was actually not a hound. Of course, he was a cat, and the cat's name was Donald, and he loved Donald, and Mark and his family have adopted this big kitty, Mike's companion, and we'll take very good care of him. And one of the first things that I said to Mike after he had relocated and gotten settled in Idaho was, how did Donald make the trip? Was he okay? And he said that Donald had settled in very nicely in the cabin and was making friends with Mark's children. And so it is nice to know. And one of the comments that was made in the comments section at theuglytruth.wordpress.com, that is theuglytruth.wordpress.com, and if you go there you can leave some remarks there, but one of the things that one of the comments said was that Mike talked about going up and going outside and looking up into the sky and seeing the eagles flying around. And so it was wonderful that Mike was in a place where he could kind of commune with nature and appreciate nature. I mean, he'd been in Washington, D.C. For most of his adult life, and with Mark and with Mark's family, he was able to appreciate nature and to and maybe that helped him to heal or to heal and think about just to kind of evaluate what had occurred to him in the last 2 years. And trust me, he had been through a dreadful experience in the last 2 years. He had worked for a company for all of his adult life, and I know that Mike gave them his all. He gave them his best, because that's the kind of guy that he was. He put all of his heart, all of his efforts into everything that he did. He didn't do things halfway. If he was going to write a book about the JFK assassination, he was going to include everything that he found about it. He researched in places that nobody else had thought to look. He made all of these wonderful, wonderful connections. And so let me invite you to call into the program if you have any experiences with Mike or about Mike that you would like to share. Then feel free to call into the program, and that telephone number is 800-313-9443. Okay, let's see if there's some comments in the chat room that we would like to share. Okay, somebody said, he didn't know how to get around D.C. from my car. We would go round and round in circles. And so that was somebody that had the pleasure of meeting Mike. And unfortunately, I never met Mike in person. But I just felt this great commonality with him. I just felt that, well, I just loved Mike. I felt such commonality from him, such humanity, and I'm going to miss him. But, hey, we're going to keep this really light. People who listen to my program on a regular basis know that I can get a teensy bit emotional from time to time when I'm talking about sensitive things. And this is a sensitive thing. When somebody mentioned in the chat room last night at 7:50 that Mike had passed, I thought, oh my goodness, I can't believe it. And so I came back on the air, and I think I mentioned that I had just gotten some really bad news, and there was one caller in the queue, Jeff from Idaho, and I am so grateful that Jeff in Idaho was in the queue, because I immediately took his call, and honestly, I'm sorry, Jeff, I don't know what you said. I was just trying to keep my emotions together. I know you mentioned Dr. Parker, but I don't know what else you said. I couldn't even remember the guest that I was going to have on this coming Saturday on my program. I'm going to have Dr. Nicholas Kullerstrom on my program, but I could not remember my guest's name. I was just so consumed with the news that I had just heard that I... Well, Jeff, thanks for being there. Thank you so much for being there and for contributing and making those last few minutes on the program bearable. Okay, somebody in the chat room has said, let me move the list of people over here. Dear, just lost the chat room. Okay. We'll just have to go back here. Okay. I'm glad he was with Mark and his family in Idaho when he passed and not in the belly of the beast where he lived most of his adult life. And I thought that too. I thought, what if he was there in D.C.? And I know that he was friendly with his next door neighbor because when he went to the hospital, she took care of the cat. And he did have close neighbors, but the environment in Idaho was totally different. And so, yes, in spite of the fact that it was a very stressful move, it required a lot of effort on Mike's part in getting ready for the move and packing up his apartment, which was loaded with books and things that he had collected for probably over two decades. It was a great effort, and of course there's a lot of things that Mark and his family are now responsible for, and I think Mark is feeling a bit overwhelmed. So please, by all means, keep Mark and his family in your prayers, and because they do need that. Okay, if you would like to call into the program and talk about this, 800-313-9443, and whatever it is you have to say, you would be welcome to join in the conversation. And going back to his latest book, False Flags, Template for Terror, and I do know I do know, as others also know, that he was in the process about a year and a half ago. He was going to write a book about Hitler. And he had plans. He had plans, despite the terrific pain that he was under, despite the serious illness that he lived with day in and day out. He had plans. He was never going to, I don't think he ever would have retired. I think that he would have just continued to do what he had always done, for all of his life, because that was just the kind of guy that he was. Now, in going to WordPress, theuglytruth.wordpress.com, we can read some other remarks. Let's see, 77 comments here that we can look at. And there, when I looked earlier in the day, and there's a delightful photo of him, and, you know, he looks at rest. He looks peaceful in this photo. He's obviously enjoying a good meal. And so we can be happy that he was with friends, that he was with family, that he, now the earliest comment was posted yesterday at 2:06 p.m. And it is, let me just share it with you. Mark, my heart is crying and I am broken up. MCP had the best brother. Michael Collins Piper, rest in peace, comrade. Your spirit is stronger. Now, most of them were short, to the point. Another one says, my deepest condolences, Mark. The world has lost a good truth seeker. I hope and pray that no foul play was involved. He is now free from all the agonizing pain he was enduring and relating to us all in his talks. Again, my condolences to you as his friend and others who knew him well and to his family. No doubt he will be sorely missed for his outspokenness and courage. May he rest in eternal peace, and may God receive him with compassion, mercy, and envelop him with his love. And certainly, I hope that is the case. Another message, I am devastated. He just wrote to me last week. This man did so much for us and the world. Most of them express the idea that they were stunned, because in spite of the fact that he was sick, you know, nobody really expected that he would die. We just did not expect Mike to die. Okay, let's take Tony in Round Rock. Tony, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Hello, Deanna. I love you guys, like Clint and you. These are such heroes, you know. I just wanted to ease your pain a little bit. Like, I know for a fact that we live forever, and it's the greatest thing to be, you know. And it's so easy to see all the perfect things in this world that, you know, like, we don't have to really fear any of these other things that they're making up. You know, and it's like, I just want to know for a fact that we live forever, you know?
I believe that too, Tony. And when I was thinking about this today, I thought about an analogy that we often, well, not often, but sometimes when our family members are going off on a cruise ship or they're going off on a ship of some sort, and they board the ship and we wave goodbye and we say, you know, farewell and good luck and everything, And we might watch the ship as it sails away or leaves the dock. And we can watch the ship and watch the ship as it sails into the horizon. But that ship is going to arrive somewhere else where there will be somebody to welcome the people that we have bidden goodbye to. And I think that that is how it is. That although we bid farewell and we say goodbye, that there's going to be somebody that will meet him.
Yes.
On the other side.
The thing is that we live forever because the Creator makes things perfectly, you know? Like, there is no way to destroy something that was created, you know? Like, this is, like, to be, you know? It's something that just can't stop. You can feel it in your heart, you know? And like you said, it's like this endless journey. And I believe, you know, we look up at the stars and we wish that we could travel like that, and we always hope that we can build something to take us there. But in a spirit world, in a sense, when you live forever, when you have the time to travel like that, you know, you could imagine that that's probably where we're going, you know?
Exactly.
Somewhere where there's no two worlds alike and everything is always something new and
right.
It's an endless learning experience, and that's what this world is.
Tony, we're going to a real quick break. Feel free to stay over the break. We'll be right back. Alrighty, welcome back. Welcome back. Alrighty, Tony, you have some more thoughts.
Oh, I have so many thoughts. I always wanted to call you guys. I never have, like, the ability to call in and stuff. But, you know, like, when he's trying to solve his problems with the system and stuff, and my solution was that I've been vegetarian for, like, since I was 18 for 40 years now. I haven't killed anything, you know, and I don't even hurt the flies anymore or anything. And what happens is you start to feel everything, and you start to realize how special everything is, what life is really, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And life is an endless thing. It's guaranteed that, you know. Like, you can see that if we're being haunted by another world, that we live forever. I mean, that's a nice way to look at that. So,
sure.
You know, you're not afraid of it, you know. And the
sure.
problem with this other world is that, you know, even if they're around us and stuff, it's just that they want to continue living. They don't realize that there's probably more to it than, you know, here where we left. You know, like, what the problem is here is we're all confused. Like, religion's not teaching you a guarantee that you live forever. They're talking hell and all this other crap, you know, and it's like, the truth is, they don't want you to know that, you know. Because if you live forever, we wouldn't have any war, we wouldn't hurt each other, we would see each other again, we would never hurt each other, you know?
Sure. Well, I think that we should, do unto others as we would have them do unto us, and treat people kindly and with respect and all of those things. So I really appreciate your call, Tony. Thank you so much for calling in.
You're welcome.
All righty. We lost Mike in Minnesota, so Mike in Minnesota, I hope that you will call back, and I hope that others will also join us by calling in to the program at 800-313-9443. Let me share some more of the comments made on theuglytruth.wordpress.com, and please do be sure to keep Mark and his family in your prayers, to whomever you pray to, keep them in your prayers and thoughts. Okay, this is what Lindsay said. I am so upset, distraught, and disoriented from shock that I do not know what to say, except that I am extremely sad and hurt by his passing. And he says, I am so upset. I really cared for him, about him. Anybody that knows Lindsay and knows that he doesn't know what to say, that is real shock. Because Lindsay always, well, he's never at a loss for words. So, thank you, Lindsay. And right below what Lindsay said, the best of the best, and may God forever bless you, Mark, for all that you have done for Mike. If there is a God, I hope that Mike is up there with him and looking down upon us and saying, hey, folks, it's okay. The fact is, great, no more pain, no more suffering, and I can't wait for you to join me. Alrighty, we're going to our hard break. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Don't give yourselves to these unnatural men, machine men, with machine minds and machine hearts. You are not machines.
Alrighty, this is Deanna, and I am subbing for Clint Richardson on the Corporation Nation. Clint's websites are realityblogger.wordpress.com and thecorporationnation.com. And if he tuned in to just listen, I'm sure he's wondering, my gosh, she's changing my music around, and what the heck is she doing? But that music is from Mike's. It's Mike's bumper music. And we just thought that maybe you would like to hear it. And but anyway, after the program was over last night, after I left the program, and thank goodness for Jeff from Idaho, who was the last caller, I clicked the off button and the connection, and I just burst into tears. And I probably cried for 10 minutes. And then I went downstairs, and of course my husband was wondering what had happened. And it was, and when I woke up this morning, I thought about Mike, but I felt better. I felt better, and so we just need to move on. And anyway, I invite your phone calls at 800-313-9443, and I hope that you will call in and share your experiences with Mike. When you happen to find his program, what your favorite book might be, what your favorite topic that he discussed might be. He was going to write a book about Hitler. In fact, at one point he sent me, he had some books from Hitler's personal library, and he sent me a page from one a couple of years ago. And I have it here in my filing cabinet. And he was just very thoughtful like that. Just a very, very thoughtful, kind person. Although he talked a lot about the evils in life, he still had compassionate concern for others, and had empathy for others, had friends all kinds of friends. He was friends with all kinds of people. And I'm sure that they were all blessed to have him in their life. Now, when you're on the radio and you talk to people about, well, Monday through Friday, or whether you have a once-a-week program, when you're talking with people and you interact with people, even on the radio, and when they thereafter email you or interact in the chat room, you feel a commonality, a closeness to them. And oftentimes, with people in our own family or people that we meet, we can't always express some of the things that we believe because, well, they would be shocked at some of the things that we believe. And in fact, I think many of us have lost friends and or family members, not because they have passed away, but because they no longer talk to us because they think that we are, well, crazy. But I think that his family was always very supportive, and he had family members that had served in the Second World War, and he understood from the people that he talked to and from the books that he read, he was able to ferret out information. And then his writing style, if you ever look at his writing style, it's very concise, very compact. He wrote remarkably well. I mean, just remarkably well. In fact, he wrote, as many of us do, he wrote better than he spoke. Although he could deliver quite a wonderful talk, his writing is exquisite, and you just get lost in it, and it's just terrific. If you're lucky enough to have one of his books, or if you don't have any of his books, now would be the time to get them, because I'm sure that they will be a premium. Okay. Let me give you a couple of comments. Mike was a friendly person. He truly liked to be around people. And you could feel that. You could really feel that from the number of people that he talked about knowing. And he could remember things. He could remember conversations that he had with such and such a person that he had lunch with 10 years ago in some cafe in Washington. His recall was amazing. And the person that said that he truly liked people said he was very pleasant to be around. Now, 30, please call in and tell us about your experiences with Mike, because a lot of us did not have the pleasure of actually being around Mike. We felt that we were around him because we listened to him, we read his books and everything. But call into the program and tell us where you went with him and what you did and call in. And that number, as you've already posted, is 800-313-9443. Okay, did Mike call back in? Mike from Minnesota? Robert, okay, I got to scroll down. Robert.
Hey, Deanna, I'm listening to the program, and, you know, I was doing a lot of soul searching. And, you know, it's funny, I walked out and I saw a bunch of my neighbors out front, these people involved in their little lives, and they're going to never probably know who Mike Piper was unless I told them. And even if I did tell them, they're going to probably think I'm a loon if I gave them one of his books. But what I want to say to this is to those of listening is, you know, these guys like him, they do such a service, and you, Deanna, with your books, of course. But it's just like, you know, it's just, the thing is, you walk out here and you see the normal person, and it's just like Michael Collins Piper should have been the rock star. You know, Deanna, you should be a rock star, too, because of the books you've authored. And, you know, it's this upside down inverse reality that we're all living in that sometimes makes us, let's just say, it discourages us. It makes us think that there's no hope. It makes us think that, is anybody paying attention? You're doing this program about Michael Collins Piper, one of the biggest authors in our movement, and you've had two callers. This is what fascinates me about, our listenership on this network. You know, I'll do my program and I'll have callers stacked up where I can't even get them all, or John will do it sometimes, and it's weird how the little ebb and flow of this talk radio underground movement of ours is. And you know, it can't be overemphasized that Michael Collins Piper should have been a household name, especially with European Americans, but even African Americans or anybody else. It's because this guy was willing to put his entire existence on the line, exposing this true mafia that we're up against, this gang of people that basically, they've got such a twisted ideology that they say if you're not part of our gang, our tribe, our clique, that you're not even a human being. You are more like an insect or a beast to be managed, because we're the superior entity. And, you know, when you stand up against this thing, this mafia, this cabal, we all know that there's been people being picked off, and I'm not saying Mike was picked off. He was in bad health, so it's really, really hard to say. But all of us out here that have done this, that are doing this, that are willing to step across the line that's been drawn for us by the controllers that say, no, you can't touch this third rail, you cannot cross this line in the sand, or somehow your life is in danger, but people are willing to do it anyway, because it's not because we want to be the star. It's because we love our fellow man enough to take the risk. And Mike Piper took the risk, folks. I mean, he lived in D.C. all these years among the assassins, the loony people, the people that'll take you out in half a second. And this guy, he survived and he wrote all these books. And so everybody in the chat room, anybody that's listening, you need to call in and get on record to dedicate, you know, your voice and your thoughts to this guy. I mean, I know Clint's got a lot of listeners. Don't be timid and do it. You know, a while back I decided, I was like, you know what, I'm going to get on the air on RBN no matter what. I was a regular caller, and people told me I need to get on the air, and I did what was necessary at the time. And, you know, I've got a huge following of people on the middle of Sunday nights that, you know, they dig it. They dig what I talk about. And, but Mike Piper was a trailblazer in this thing, you know, and Tex Mars and you and numerous others. I mean, the courage to really butt up against these people they don't give bat an eye about killing people, you know, to shut them up. It's a priceless thing. No greater a love that a man has than to lay down his life for his brothers, and this dude was willing to do it. And,
he
you know,
did.
He was a priceless individual.
Yes, he did. I fear that sometimes, and I'm not saying this is the case, but sometimes people get so wrapped up in what they're doing that they fail to recognize that they may have a physical problem, and they just get so wrapped up with finishing a project or finishing this or doing that or they kind of sometimes sacrifice themselves for something that they could be doing for. But they sacrifice themselves for other people rather than themselves, you know what I mean?
This is true, but you know, here's the thing, there's so much information out here for us as far as trying to take care of ourselves in this underground media. There's this whole wing of naturopaths that
mm-hmm.
direct you. You know, I've been for a few years now, I've really got into that as far as trying to take care of my my body in order to just take care of the whole person. It's not like I'm idolizing my body, but at the same time, it's just like, hey, look, health is such a blessing, and it's such a thing in our lives to where it really, if you take care of those foundational things in your health, then your mind and your intellect and everything else feeds off of that. And so,
exactly,
you know,
yeah.
Yeah, and you know, like with people that have diabetes and other things, you know, there's things that can help negate some of that. Now, there's genetic things about diabetes, but then there's the other types of diabetes, which diet and other things can really, you know, take that stuff a step backwards. But you know, you know, when I got exposed to Mike Piper through Tex Mars, because, you know, I was one of these dumb Hal Lindsey kind of Christians where it was like I was all into the Bible prophecy side of the house. But then I stumbled across Tex Mars probably 20-something years ago, and then he started to really move toward against this Zionist thing because he saw how basically against traditional Christianity it was, and then he started carrying Mike Piper's books and all that stuff, and then you're like, oh wow, there's this whole other side of research. If you've grown up watching stupid Christian TV, which is all Israel worship and nothing else, and then you get exposed to this other side of the house about the organized crime and the just the nefarious agenda, then, you know, it gives you this balanced view, and Mike Piper was at the forefront of that research, and it just can't be said enough to where he basically, like, look, folks, this is really what's going on here, and I'm sure he influenced the heck out of Tex Mars as a Christian researcher. Tex is like this guy that's just out there, you know, at the forefront of research with a Christian ethos, but at the same time, it's just like, look, these people are at the forefront of the anti-Christian movement. These are the people that took prayer out of your schools and pushed pornography and every other kind of ill onto society on purpose to weaken you as a Gentile. And so, you know, Mike Piper's a priceless individual, and everybody should read his works and get a hold of him now before something else happens.
Absolutely. Okay. Well,
right,
I appreciate
Dan,
you calling back in and for your good thoughts.
Just, you know, I was listening to the program, like, you know, there's not a lot of people calling in. I was like, you know what, I got to get back on there and rant for a second because I consider that guy, especially just like with the basics on JFK, like Jack Ruby, his real name's Jacob Rubenstein. He's a Jewish mafioso that kills Oswald. I mean, come on. I mean,
sure.
You don't think that somehow this Jewish mob wasn't in on the hit on Kennedy, and Kennedy was leaning on Ben-Gurion, and Kennedy was, you know, he went up right against the Federal Reserve, and he fired Alan Dulles right out of the CIA. I mean, this guy, he made enemies in every sector that he could, and then, you know, you see what they did to him. They splattered his head wide open in the middle of Dallas, and so, but our only Roman Catholic president, I'm Italian, and I'm an old-school Catholic, pre-Vatican II, and, you know, so I really appreciated Mike's viewpoint because he always had an affinity for old Rome, and, you know, he always made that known, and so, you know, he led me along, too. So I just wanted to throw that all out there.
Well, thank you very much.
Alrighty.
We do have some people calling in. So maybe you've inspired somebody else. Alrighty. Thanks so much, Robert. Okay, let's take Ted in Georgia. Ted, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Deanna. I heard the announcement by John Stettmiller, and I called in then, but I don't want to miss another opportunity to speak a word for Mike. Mike Piper and I were friends for 16 years. I was with him on two occasions in Washington, and we have corresponded constantly in those 16 years. And I've been corresponding by mail since he'd been in Idaho. And he told me that he had a quintuple bypass some few months ago, and he had diabetes. and his feet were in such condition that he could barely walk. So Mike
right.
had some terrible health problems. But Mike was a good friend. He was a great man, a great writer. He'll be missed, and he has made his mark in the Patriot movement. I have utmost regards and admiration for Mike Piper. He was with the American Free Press for 34 years. And he has made his mark. I think I have every book he's written, and many of them he autographed. And I just want to say a word that Mike was a great patriot, a great writer, one of the best writers I've read, because he is easy to read because he is a great writer.
Yes.
A good writer is easy to read. And
indeed.
A poor writer is hard to read. But Mike has made his mark, and God rest him in heaven. I'll miss him because I corresponded with him constantly, and I had a note from him about 2 weeks ago, and I sent a note to him since then. So I was somewhat shocked, but I knew Mike's physical condition. But Mike will be missed. He's a great patriot, a great American, and I cannot say enough for my friend Mike Piper. He was a great friend and a great writer, and I'll miss him.
Well,
God
thank you so
Mike
much,
Piper.
Ted. Thank you.
Thank you.
All righty. Let's take Jerry in Chicago, and then next we'll take 30-06. Jerry in Chicago?
Good evening, Deanna, and thanks for taking my call. And Robert's right. You know, I was sitting here thinking about this since John mentioned it on his show in the first hour about Mike Piper. And when I first started listening to RBN, which is going to be about 3 years ago in another month, I used to tune in to Michael Piper. I don't believe he took phone calls from the audience or anything. He had a pretty simple system where he came on Sunday nights. And all of a sudden he disappeared, and I don't know what the heck happened, but, you know, it was a shock to find out he was only 54 or 55 years old, and he
mm-hmm.
had that kind of heart problems. But I remember one night I was listening to his show, and it wasn't a caller that called in. It was something that somebody else of importance said about the Titanic could have been switched with the Olympic, because the Olympic,
mm-hmm.
the first several years, was a kind of a failed ship. They had insurance problems and everything, and they were
right.
almost identical twins. But he said that all of his research, and he had, must have read 100 books on the Titanic, because he
mm-hmm.
was interested in it at an early age in life. He came to the conclusion that, no, it was the Titanic that sunk.
Yes.
But, I mean,
you verified that
show.
For me, too.
Well, I remember that show vividly, and, I mean, Mike was a good guy. Like I said, I haven't read anything that he's done, but I used to like listening to him because, well, he drove a point home, and I still can't believe he was only, like, 55 years old. He sounded like a much older guy.
Yeah. He was older because he was so wise, and we all think, well, he must have been older, but, yeah, he was relatively young.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, you know, if I'm not mistaken, I think there was a evening show where you filled in for John Stadtmiller, and your guest was Michael Collins Piper?
Possibly, yeah.
Okay, this would have been about a year and a half ago, and I remember calling up and just saying, hey, listen, I never get an opportunity to call your show. I think it's pre-recorded or something, but I just got to tell you, you're a phenomenal guy. I love tuning in to you and everything. So, and I remember calling in on that show. So I think John was out with an illness or something like that, and you sat in and you had Michael booked.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Great job, Deanna. I'm sorry for your loss, and it's all of our losses.
Yes, we have a common loss here.
Yeah, we do. Well, hey, get on to the next callers, and thank you very much for what you're doing.
Thank you, Jerry. Okay, let's take 30-06. 30, welcome.
How are you holding up tonight, Deanna?
I'm good. I I haven't cried today. That's a good sign. Of course, the day's not over.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I think I'll be okay.
It's rough, but it reminds us that we have limited time to get our work done. And Mike was always one who was always at work. I remember him talking about the book that he was writing about Adolf Hitler. And I remember a statement he made when we were driving around D.C. once. He said, I'm paraphrasing him, of course, because I don't remember exact word for word, but he said something to the effect that when people finally get tired of fighting wars for the Jews, they'll finally admit that Hitler was right and stop parroting all the Jewish lies. And, that's what they do. They parrot the Jewish lies in order to excuse their responsibility for tolerating Jewish criminal activities that are taken out against humanity in the form of wars and other deteriorations and degenerations and exploitations of society. Mike was a very dedicated person. He loved people, and he was pained to see people suffering from this international criminal clique. I was down there on 1 year we picketed, about 8 years ago, we picketed the German embassy on behalf of Ernst Zundel. And Mike Piper and Willis Cardo showed up. And I was really impressed with Willis because he's about 72 or 75 years old at the time, and he's out there with a picket sign, and he was just chipper as a lark. He enjoyed being there. And after the picket was over, I drove Mike back to his apartment, and we went over to the AFP office. Are we still connected?
Yes, uh-huh.
Okay.
I'm just intent on listening to what you're saying.
Yeah, I don't hear anything, so I wasn't sure. But, we went over to he really enjoyed taking me through the AFP office and introducing me to everybody, and he was telling everybody about me, and I was really lucky. A lot of people stopped in there. At the time, I met Stan Rittenhouse, who wrote the book For Fear of the Jew, and Jim... the Bilderberger guy. What's his name? I'm skipping names.
I know what you mean. He passed away. Yeah.
Right. He passed away about 3 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, I think it was. And he was mugged just before that, about 6 months. And I was wondering, I always wondered if that had something to do with that. Jim was, that is.
What but, is yeah, Mike, his name? Somebody in the chat room will come up.
Yeah, I can't think of it right now. And I've been reading his stuff for 30 years or so, but I can't think of his name.
I know.
But my dog was with me when I went on that picket, and Mike really liked my dog. And every time afterwards, he always asked me, first day he said, how's that dog? How's that dog of yours? How's that dog?
Jim Tucker.
Tucker, yes, that is Jim Tucker.
Okay.
There we go.
Yeah, I came up with that on my own. Nobody in the chat room knew.
I see the chat room here. Everybody being quiet. Jim Tucker was there, and Stan. I was really pleased to meet Stan Rittenhouse. He wrote that book, like I think 20 years before, and For Fear of the Jews. And I was really thought that was great meeting him. And Michael, he loaded me up with some copies of the Barnes Review, and he gave me both volumes of Matthias Chang's books and some other books, and he showed me all around the office, and he was just a great guy to be around. He's just very outgoing, very friendly. You could tell he just really enjoyed being around people, and the way he talked, he was just real down-to-earth, people-loving kind of guy.
Exactly. Well, stay with us, and we'll be right back. Righty, Thank you so much. I just love listening to that music, and I kind of hope that Mike's here in this program. I really do. Okay, 30. Tell us some more things.
Well, I really don't know what to say. Mike was just a really good guy to be around, and you could tell he was just a sincere person. His sincerity was very evident. It was clearly evident when you met him, and what you heard on the radio when he was talking. That was the real Mike. He was just that friendly person. There was nothing fake about Mike. There was nothing phony about him. He was just what he was. He was real. He presented himself just the way he was. He didn't have any pretenses. He did not have any false ego. He was just a serious person who was doing what he could.
Indeed. Well, if he likes animals, I mean, that's a good sign already. So
yeah, he loved cats and dogs and he loved everything. He loved life. He loved all of God's creatures.
Yes. I sense that too. Well, thank you so much, 30, for sharing your experience with us. And okay. Let's move on to Ed in Utah. Ed, welcome to the program.
Can you hear me, Diana?
Yes.
Diana, I'm just like you. I'm devastated. And also, I share something in common with you. I was considered myself a friend of Michael, but we never met. And because of his great work, and I was inspired by it, I'm the one that set up a lot of his interviews over the years, including the big WLW Cincinnati when he was on with Bill Beauchears back in the early 2000s, and that helped get the word out for him. There was, to me, for him putting his life on the line, much like you do now, that was the least I could do, is do what I can to shake things up out there, call into some of the 50,000-watt talk shows and get his name out there, including that big Chicago station, WLS, there with Nate Clay. Not that I agree with Nate Clay on so much, but the fact is that carried out into 30 and 40 states across the country. But and Piper, this is a blow, and it should be noted that when we lost another great patriot last September, the death of Jim Traficant,
right.
It was Mr. Piper that wrote the stunning book, Target Traficant.
Yes.
He made it beyond belief that, no one could question the fact that he was set up by the Cleveland Jewish groups there and several other people that wanted him, Mr. Traficant, out of the way. Traficant himself said, Mr. Piper is the only journalist in America that I trust. And obviously, when he got out of prison, he went to work. Obviously made arrangements by Michael Piper to work at the American Free Press newspaper. And you also look at his other great work. I have a signed copy of his, A Final Judgment, of course. And he was on here with some of the hosts that came on RBN, Barbara Jean being one of them, in Salt Lake City on K-Talk. And Mr. Piper came on her show, Final Judgment. And then another very important thing about Mr. Piper, Deanna, as you well know, he had so-called tidbits, but were stunning tidbits, like the real story of Enron, how it was about money being worked. Yeah, how he worked that through, how the Holocaust Museum people setting it up around the country, how they were funneling it through Enron to finance these things. Every one of us thought, oh, it was before Piper, that it was Kenny Boy, Kenny Lay and Baxter that ran Enron. No, it wasn't. It was Mr. Belford Jr., the son of the executive pillow salesman Belfer, who owned many things, a Hungarian Jewish millionaire magnate. His son took over Enron from the Belfer Belko Company from dating back to the 40s. Piper, like you pointed out, Deanna, he comes in and makes these connections. And his famous saying, and so it was. And here it is. He is connected just about everything that that we need to know about.
Indeed. Indeed.
There's no replacement for him?
No, there's not.
You're kind of the... I was thinking of you the other day as being the sort of the Barnes Review, the honorary voice of the Barnes Review, and I was thinking of Piper, how he was the last torchbearer, if you will, Deanna, of Ezra Pound, Harry Elmer Barnes, and these people that directly and went to prison for it took on Franklin Delano. I'm sure yes. Piper would have been one of them in the sedition trial with Elizabeth Dilling back then. And these are the things that the newcomers to RBN need to know about.
Indeed.
Here we had the man who cracked. After a long last, he wasn't even, he was 3 years old when John F. Kennedy was assassinated by the assassins from Israel. He was only 3 years old, and he kind of came in. He's so humble, as you say. He said he had the advantage of not being born when all that was known, and he could kind of come in after under the radar and build upon the work of the great Mark Lane. And
yes.
who, as you know, and as he pointed out, defended and kept alive the American free press back in the early 80s. When
exactly.
They were hit that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What a loss. And I'm so proud that the least I could do as somebody out here was do some Baldwin-Weir legwork for him and get him on some of these shows, both here on Kite Talk in Salt Lake City and then wherever else I could get him on there through passing along the word of his great works. And you're sort of the torchbearer now in many ways, since you have a microphone and you represent, at least in an honorary fashion, Deanna, the Barnes Review. I view you that way.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate it. And I appreciate everything that you did for Mike. And
very little compared to what he did for the Patriot Movement in general. And if I was, you know, kind of back to my old conservative ways, was viewing a topic as being spun, even on alternative media, I thought, now, wait a minute. What's Michael Piper got to say about this? There's
exactly.
got to be another
yes.
shooter drop. Yes, that's exactly.
Yes.
What a stunning loss. I'm not over it yet. And
I understand. Thanks, Ed.
Yep. You've got a hard job tonight, Deanna.
Well, I knew it was going to be difficult, mm-hmm. but anyway, thank you so much.
Thank you for being there.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, let's take Reagan in Illinois. Reagan, welcome.
Hi, Deanna.
Hi.
Hi. I appreciate this program so much and the previous caller. I just have one thing to add, and that was Michael Piper's regard for you. And, well, first of all, I never would have even known about him if it weren't for you. And I learned about him, and then I started listening to his program, and I read a couple of his books that you shared. And but I remember on more than one occasion he brought your name up on his radio broadcast, either when one of your books came out, and how much he really loved your books, and he thought your radio program was the best thing out there, and it was sincere. He just had a very high regard for you and what you were doing, and
he had a high regard for anybody that was doing anything. He was very liberal with his praise. And he was very supportive of people who were relatively new. He did not have an ego. He simply, he was helpful, he was supportive, and a lot of people need to be grateful for the support that he rendered them. And yet people who he was very friendly with, who he supported, a few have turned their backs on him, which is not fair at all.
But he also had large discernment. He discerned, you know, the phonies from the real people, and he singled you out on more than one occasion. And that's all I have to add. I just want to thank you and thank Michael.
Yes. Thank Michael. Thank you, Reagan. Okay. I appreciate your phone call.
Love you. Bye.
Bye. Okay, let's take Andrea in Oklahoma.
Yes. We all come into this world. A lot of people have children to leave as their token of being here. But there's nothing more personable than sitting down with a book that gives you knowledge. And he's left a legacy. He was a teacher. And he has many different ideas that we can warmly feel as though he's right with us every time we open his book. And he was teaching us what the truth was. And he was trying desperately hard. How many people leave this world and never leave any mark, nothing that's trying to help his fellow persons out, not trying to make a difference, or even trying to make a difference and aren't able to achieve that. He was able to achieve leaving something so grand for all of us, and we can share his word by just buying a book and sending it to other people and opening up their minds, because people are more willing to read a book than to listen to words. And it's more like when you're trying to tell a friend or a family member about the truth, how they'll shut you out. But if you just send them a gift, then what better gift than to give his books? And it keeps him alive, because it's you're giving the gift. They think of you, and they're also thinking of the author. So,
indeed.
Truly, it's a wonderful thing. Books are, I think, becoming more popular, because if you go into any video place, there is so much evil, horrible movies, and TV has just gotten ruthless. And books are becoming more popular. Libraries here in Oklahoma are overflowing with people reading now. I think they're driving us back to books.
That's wonderful.
Yeah,
that is wonderful to hear.
But I think it's Hollywood that's driving us away, because it's just nasty to watch it anymore.
It's awful.
And so I thank him, and share his ideas, share the truth, awaken America. We all need to know what's really going on, because I've tried to go to the radio stations here and promote RBN and to carry the station, and so what? I mean, they don't seem like they're still caught in the mainstream idea of what the lies are and still peddling the lies. So I thank you so much for all you do, Deanna. I wish you were back on full-time on RBN, because I just love you and your shows and all that you share with us. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you for calling in. All right. Let's take Jeff in Idaho. Jeff.
Hi, Deanna. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Hi.
I'm gonna listen to what you're saying. I was so glad you were there last night, because
I was called at the wrong time, obviously, because I could hear a couple minutes later what was happening. You know, I really have studied, you know, the people that have high moral courage, like Royal Raymond Rice, Robert O. Becker, with his where he could regrow limbs with silver. You know, so, you know, my goal with, like, trying to support all this Dr. Clark work and, you know, all these, you know, legal activities with, like, Dr. Rivera,
mm-hmm.
You know, all the martial law rule that that Pete and Joseph Rosenwald were working on, you know,
mm-hmm.
One of the nicest things I got is, you know, I got this 9/11 eyewitness Hoboken TV, you know, and I made
mm-hmm.
copies for all the people in Congress and had someone basically deliver them to me when they're doing, like, that thing in 2008. And
mm-hmm.
I sent a copy to Michael, and, you know, he sent me a nice note back and said thanks. So, you know, it was just kind of, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, he's getting missed.
Yes. Yes,
okay.
Absolutely.
All right, good night. Talk to you.
By many people. Thank you so much, Jeff. All righty, let's look at the chat room. Mike always uncovered the connections. He just wanted people to wake up and face the truth so the world could go on in the right direction. Thanks to this caller for sharing these thoughts. I think he was talking about Ed. And another comment, Piper was a giver in a world of so many thinking and doing only for themselves. A world today of me, me, me. He will be missed. So sad. And that is true. He did think of others, and that is why he worked so hard. Mike served as an example. Do what's right. Speak the truth. Interesting point that the caller is making about books becoming more popular. And as I go over the library, yeah, there are people over there that are looking at books. They're looking at more things than the video section. And I also got a note this week in the last couple of days about a production in Germany about the Holocaust. There was a program on the Holocaust in Germany. They had a program, and I thought, oh my goodness, that is just what they need. Germany needs to get off their knees, and I think that we all do. We all need to do that, and people like Mike and his books, and the one on Traficant, when the caller mentioned Traficant. Yes, Mike always went, he always tried to investigate or talk with people who could share their stories, like the great Jim Traficant. Alrighty, we will be right back in 3 minutes. Alrighty, welcome back. This is Deanna, and I'm subbing for Clint for the rest of the week. And we have another caller, Judith from Missouri. Judith, welcome to the program.
Thank you, and thank you for the program. I just wanted to mention, if it hasn't been done, that Michael Collins Piper was a namesake of an Irish truth seeker, freedom seeker, and if his parents are around, they must be very proud of how he bore that name. I certainly would be. And if he chose it himself as a nom de plume, he did it honor. And we'll thank him forever for what he's done. And never forget him, I hope.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Judith, for calling into the program. Well, let me share another, we don't have any more callers. Let me share something that from theuglytruth.wordpress.com. Rest in peace, Michael Collins Piper. Many people will miss you, especially the readers and listeners here at TUT and, of course, RBN. I know you will have eternal happiness and peace with the Most High in heaven. I thank you for all the hard work and sacrifices you made in your short life to expose the truth about the Jewish Crime Network. God bless you. There are so many messages of condolences to Mark Glenn, to his family, and I am so grateful that Mark Glenn and his family reached out in love to Mike and made his last weeks on the earth more pleasant and that he was able to be in a place where he could feel the love of other people, and that he could commune with nature and to have the freedom to look up in the sky and watch the eagles soar. And he was one that soared also above the rest, and he brought a lot of us along with him to soar on the journey that he selected to take. And anyway, that's program tonight, and farewell, our friend. We will miss you, and we love you, and thanks for being the kind of person that you were. And I have a feeling that he might be listening. And anyway, farewell, our good friend. Soar with the eagles, my friend. Take care.